Greetings, colleagues. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Welcome to Ifrica Media, iCare's number one platform in Africa. Today, we have a very special show in store for you. Today, it's all about private practice. And today, we're going to dive deep into Nigeria, and we're going to talk about how to open up a cold start practice. Today's guest is Dr. Yemisi. Dr. Yemisi, if you don't mind just telling us a little bit about yourself, how you got into optometry, where you're from. Let's hear it.
My name is Yemisi Shoyombo. I'm originally from Ogun State. My mom is from Delta State, Delta Igbo. So, I mean, a mix of both. For optometry, I probably didn't intend to study optometry. I schooled in Ghana, by the way, Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology in Ghana. I got into optometry school in 2004. My plan was to study pharmacy, and that's what I was going to study. But I remember when I had an option to choose between optometry and I think it was dentistry. Optometry and pharmacy, sorry. And at that time, I was having a chat with my dad, and he said, what part of your senses is most important to you? And I'm like, oh, my eyes, or to any other person. And that's why how I settled for optometry. And when I started optometry, I wouldn't say I really had like a full view of what it was, but we did a bit of research. And then I decided, I was going to continue with it. Optometry in Ghana is a six-year program, some form of visual health science, and then the OD together. So the six-year program gives you a certificate for an OD degree. So that's a doctor of optometry. After that, I worked. When I got back, you had to do 1 year of housemanship and then 1 year of compulsory NYC. So that's if you want to work in Nigeria before you're given your full license. And then I worked for a bit. And at some point, I felt I was getting bored. And then I decided to do a master's in health management and see where that would take me. Yeah, so I decided to run an MBA with the University of South Wales. After that, I worked for health insurance for about a year plus. At that time, I was working as a health manager, health coordinator, for the health insurance company. So client management, preventive health, and all of that, those were the my job roles or my job functions. And then after that, I was approached by an IT company, Interswitch. Interswitch is a more of a payments and innovations company, IT innovation, tech innovations. However, at that time, they were going to start a health arm called Smart Health, healthcare innovations, tech innovations in the health space, electronic medical records, user-friendly health apps, and all of that. So they were setting up a team at that time, and I was asked to join the team to see what we could do in the space that's in Nigeria. It was quite an interesting one. And I worked there for a year plus, about 2 years again. And at that time, that's when I started to think of going back to my core. So as a person, I always had entrepreneurship tendencies. So at that point, it was a decision of what was the path for my career, or what path did I want to take as regards career. I really wanted to do something entrepreneurial because that's all I found myself loving, entrepreneurship. And then at that time I decided, why don't I do a business of my career? I mean, I checked, I was passionate about optometry, even though I'd gone to check out other, I was intrigued about checking out other interests in the health space. But that was one of the things that inspired me. First of all, the drive for entrepreneurship, the drive for innovation, and the drive to do things differently. And in 2017, December 2017 to be precise, I decided to start up a practice called iCare Family Vision, and that's how we got here.
Wow, well, I know it's taken you pretty far because you're doing extremely well in Nigeria. You're a private practice owner. Clearly, you have a well-rounded background when it comes to healthcare, and clearly, you have that entrepreneur spirit. I would love to dive deep into opening up a practice in Nigeria because it's not an easy task. You have to have definitely the heart for it, and you have to be well knowledge in regards to the demographic that's there, but also the industry. So if you don't mind just walking us through the process of opening up a practice, cold start in Nigeria.
I think opening a clinic, there are a couple of things you need to think about. First of all, the need, then the market, what's your target market? And if you're looking at a location like Lagos, you have to be very concerned, or one of the things you have to focus on is where exactly your clinic is going to be located. And then that's pretty much linked to your target market. I had to start from scratch. And the first thing I first of all, I did a bit of a market survey for, say, about 3 4 months. You could call it fear, you could call it wanting to be sure that the business was going to be viable. But I went around. I actually even went to the extent of getting some numbers because I needed to do at least a 3-year projection, some form of forecast, that's close to reality. So I asked a couple of questions. I got numbers from clinics that were willing to give me numbers to create a business plan or more of a forecast, like an Excel forecast. After I had done that, then I also made a list of the things I would need to start and the cost. That's as regards equipment and furnishing. And then I started to work more on location. Now I was looking at the Lekki axis because I felt that based on my target market, then also I also felt that it was pretty much central if I wanted to be on the island. So I wanted to be I was looking for a place in Lekki. But the downside is that Lekki is pretty much very expensive, and you need some bit of a comfortable space depending on what kind of practice you wanted to start. So my focus was on getting somewhere comfortable because of the brand I was trying to create. I wanted a family practice or a family eye clinic, a place where your kids, yourself, your grandma, everyone is comfortable to come in. So it had to be warm and it had to have a bit of space. So a basic waiting room that can take people comfortably, and then a spacious consulting room as well, where you can see a patient and either the parent or someone who has come with them can sit in with them. So I pretty much needed good space, even though it was small, even though I was going to start with one consulting room. Then having a toilet facility was important to me because, like I said, I was trying to focus on having families come through. And I wanted a place where I could get an in-house toilet that I could manage. So basically, all of this is still related to the location and the facility. So going back to the price, it was really expensive. Getting a good place for cheap or for something affordable based on the forecast that I had done, so that it wouldn't feel like we're going to be working quite all right, we're going to be marketing, we're going to be bringing in patients, but most of the money made or the revenue is going towards the facility management or the cost of renting the location. The places I had seen that I really liked or felt like what I would have wanted were pricey to start. And then, so I had to settle somewhere in between. So I got pretty much a good space, but a space that I had to do a lot of work on as regards from tiling to setting up the toilet inside to screening the walls, to a lot, to creating a window. Basically, I got a good space. And then another thing was the streets. If I was going to be in Lekki, a good street as well that was accessible. And that was where I started.
Wow, Dr. Embassy, what you just said really resonated with me. As you know, I opened up a practice in Nigeria in the same area, Lekki, and one of the main problems I was having was finding a location that had a great road, finding a location that had a nice restroom, and finding a location that was very accessible. And you're right, the rent is extremely high in those locations. But I did end up finding something in that area, and I made sure that all of those things you touched on, all those touch points, were actually there, because that makes a big difference in regards to whether or not your practice will grow and prosper. You know, what I would like to do next is really talk about just the office in general, you know, finding the right team members, your staff, and also talking about, let's talk about the inventory. You know, how did you figure out how many frames you needed to open up with, and what brands in particular to cater to the demographic that you were searching for?
Starting up staff strength, or remember from the beginning, I had to keep cost as manageable as possible. So we started with myself and the front desk. I needed a front desk that could multitask. I would have hoped I got a front desk who had an idea of the business, but that didn't work. So I got a front desk who was competent, literate, could speak well, and then I had to train. So the first 1 month wasn't training. I went about training her on the different kind of lenses, training her on the equipment, training her on optical terms, training her on shot terms, what OD means, what OS means, what OU means, training her on the parts of a frame, what a hinge is, what a template. So basically we spent the whole 1 month training. And then we now had to also do a bit of structure together. It was easy because it was just myself and my front desk, and just felt like I was training one person. And yeah, so that's how. But then again, another cost we had to impute is the cost for, even if you call it some mini EMR, like an electronic medical record system. I was able to get one that was affordable, that was streamlined to the optical industry. So it was pretty much built for optical. And that would make her work easy because we could get together structured, basically good information, ordering of the lenses, patients, picked up frame, beton goods. Basically, I pretty much got a good software, even though since then they have had to edit the software over and over and over to make it better. Then for stocking, so that was a bit tricky. I would say I missed it at first, but later on, I mean, like with any other business, I made mistakes at first. So at first, I was stocking solely from Lux Optica, and they had a sub-Saharan head company called Lux. Inlux, who was responsible for the whole of Nigeria and sub-Saharan, as she said. So we get Ray-Bans from them, we get the Bulgaris, we get the Miu-Mius, we get basically the brands on the Lux Optica. So at first that was what I was doing. But we couldn't make reasonable margins, especially because, like I said, business is really tricky because the economy came into play. And at the time we were starting out, Buhari was already in the system. Things were hard. Buying power had reduced. People didn't want to spend that much on eyewear. And because we're not a fashion institution, the bulk of people who come in are not necessarily coming in for fashion, but they're coming in because of their prescription lenses. And that reduces their buying power, because someone would rather pay so much money to buy a designer eyewear for fashion as a fashion statement than just because I need to have my prescription lenses on them. So we had Ralph Lauren, we had all the brands from Lux Optica, and then we had another company called Optics Warehouse, and those ones did a bit of British designers, Italian designers, a bit of American designer, like American Express, Lindsay Eyewear, Sacred Eyewear. So those were the two people we were stocking from. And that wasn't a wise decision because we didn't have a mix of both worlds. So as a starting practice, most of the people who came in didn't have that much power to want to buy an eyewear of 75,000, 100 and something thousand. And by the time we do moderate markups, for instance, we buy a Burberry for $100 or $80, that's about 35,000. And usually you're supposed to do at least times three, but we couldn't even do that conveniently. But we found a way to push most. We've not been able to push all, but we found a way to push most. And then we started sourcing for other ways of getting affordable eyewear. Then another thing we did from the beginning was to make sure we didn't have replicas. So instead of having replicas, we would rather get an unnamed brand, probably order some brands from China Opticals, and then probably we didn't have a name, and then we leave a bit of the name brand. So people want to still see me, they still want to see design, they also still want to see rebrand, but you know, it gives them confidence. And then we try to market their name brand as much, as long as it's good quality. We had to learn a lot, learn about telling patients about acetate, what the different kinds of acetate were. We had to learn about how frames handmade eyewear, sometimes we use that to market to the patient, oh, this is handmade. Then we try not to have designs that you could see elsewhere, like there were so much in the market. So then for numbers, what I did with numbers was I realized from the feedback I got from already existing clinics, I realized that men have better paying power, quite all right, but women will change their eyewear more often. So we got more numbers as regards to feminine eyewear. Then, so for instance, if we're stocking 100 feminine eyewear, we'll probably do 60 masculine eyewear, and then we'll do about 50 children divided equally into two, 25 male, 25 female. And that was like our formula for stocking eyewear.
That's fabulous. I mean, I really love what you're doing in regards to, number one, investing in your team to make sure that they're knowledgeable about the various lens types and designs and materials. Number two, I love that you're a woman of numbers. You know, numbers don't lie. I mean, knowing what sells, what moves in your office, and working with a third party to help you really tally and track what's being successful in your office is a key thing. So this is all great stuff. I love this knowledge that you're sharing with us today. When it comes to lenses, what are you doing about that in your office? Because I know that was a major issue that I experienced initially. But luckily, I came in during a time when Essilor was coming into the market. I think they struggled a little bit initially just due to trying to understand the culture and the lens prices because they were pretty high. But I know they dropped that tech line a few years back, which has really changed the game. But what are you doing when it comes to lens orders? Who are you using? How are you going about it? Let's talk about that in a little more detail. Any other items that you may carry in your office, like nutraceuticals or anything else like that as well?
Also, for lens orders, from the beginning, we were ordering mostly from Essilor as well. They've come down with their prices now, but at that time they are just coming to, or they were just gaining ground in Nigeria, and their lenses were very, very expensive, especially the special orders or the very lux lenses. In between, like I said, after learning from a bit of mistakes, I started to source for local lens fitting technicians or production companies. I found one called Cytic. They're all the way in Sri Lanka, but they deliver, but it was pretty much more affordable. So we had a mix. So if you're ready to pay for the luxury brand or premium brand, no, that's fine. But if you cannot afford the premium brand, then we come down to your level. Until now, we still fit our lenses. We're hoping to start to fit a little by little inside the clinic because we expanded by one room. We got an extra room, but we're not done with that yet. But for now, we still fit our lenses. We still fit our lenses either with Essilor or with local technicians around that are at least that are credible, certified. There's an opticianary school in Ijebode, which is not far from Lagos. And a lot of them now, they have some form of mini guild, and it forces all of them to go in for trainings, no matter how short it is. So they have like a short course for most of the opticians. So when I need to work with a technician or an optician, I ask them for their certificates and make sure they've gone through that school, so that when you're explaining things like optical center, segment height, and stuff like that, they understand what you're saying. When you say, oh, this person, this is the original segment height, but we have to take it down, or this patient will have to work around the reading prescription because the patient will not hold their reading material at 40 centimeters. Basically, having people that can understand the language you speak. So we basically have two opticians we work with now. We were sending our stuff to Essie Lot to fit our lenses, and they also provide the lenses. And by the way, they now have cheaper brands. So they have a brand called Techline that is also good quality, but a cheaper brand, maybe not as good as Essilor anyway. And then we have also Mr. Soji worked for Ultimate Eye Care, which is like one of the four founding eye clinics in Lagos, and he was there for, according to him, over 18 years. So he's pretty much grounded, and now he also stocks lenses like Swiss lenses from Dubai, two other products that are from Dubai that are also good, and they're pretty much cheaper. So he also fits, so he stocks and he fits. So that's what we have done with lenses. For eye drops, I mean, the reps will always walk into your clinic and tell you the brands that they have and even beg you to buy from them. Some will even say to you, you know what, I'll just stock your clinic with our drugs and I'll come in 2-3 weeks to get money. So I mean, that was stocking drugs wasn't a problem. Eye drops or antioxidants wasn't so much of a problem.
One thing I really wanted to touch on, and I know for me this was a big issue in Nigeria, was marketing is very difficult when it comes to eye care in Nigeria, because there's a lot of things that you cannot do. If you don't mind just sharing with us, you know, how you marketed your practice and how you were able to stand out amongst all the other practices that are in that area.
I think Nigeria works with the British laws, medical ethics, sorry, and you're not allowed to advertise. So advertisement is a no-no, and if they find out that you advertise, they come at you. Although people come up with ingenious ways of going around it, but you're not allowed to advertise. Advertise meaning flyers, advertise meaning you can't video, any form of advertisement. They believe that you're supposed to get patients based on referrals. According to the board, to get a license for your clinic, your signage must not go a certain limit, and they give all their rules and regulations. So, I mean, advertisement was quite an issue, especially because we were starting, it was a completely cold start. So we had to come up with creative ways of advertisement. So meaning we had to go around when people were organizing events or outreach, not necessarily, you're not even allowed to advertise to do outreaches. That's for the optometry board. They came up with a law a couple of years ago saying that optometrists were not supposed to go out on outreaches. So doing fairs, workshops, like for instance, barista workshop, medical workshop. So what we started to do was to get tents and let people know about us, and then we did a bit of referrals. Then we tried to maximize social media. So we're not advertising on social media. We're giving educational tips or preventive health tips on eye care, but I mean, it's resonating in people's minds. So we just had to come up with very creative ways. But one of the key things that worked for us was referrals. And then in-house, we started to do a bit of gifts, you know, cups, pens, so that you leave with something. Then we worked strongly on customer service, making sure people were comfortable, people were happy, sometimes calling for feedbacks. I mean, in between, you get the negative feedbacks, but we just kept pushing as hard as we could get. And then after 6 months, we started to work on HMO, say 6 months to a year. Reason, because I was already advised against HMOs, because the HMO system in Nigeria is pretty much not organized and bills are not paid on time. The tariffs are meaningless. But however, they send in patients. So you get the numbers, but you might, and I mean, we needed numbers so that we could combine that with private patients that work in. So we started to work on HMOs. That was another stress on its own. I mean, we're still on it. It's somewhat political. Unfortunately, that's an effect of the Nigerian system on the business as it is. So you walk into HMOs and submit your proposals, and nobody's ever going to pick that letter till a month or 2 or 3 months, or you have to keep calling in, or you have to keep visiting. And at that time, like I said, we were two. So having to leave the office to go and remind the HMO that I submitted a letter or discuss the tariffs, some will say we already have clinics in your location, so I'm sorry we can't take you in. But we pushed, we kept on pushing, and we're still pushing through. For accounting and auditing, it wasn't wise, and we couldn't afford an in-house accountant. So what we got is we got an accountant who is on contract and comes in once a month to audit our accounts, to do our books, make sure all the books are tallying, the POS payments, the bank transfers, the cash payments, all of them are synchronized to some extent, and see where we're making mistakes, see where we have the most sales, see where we have the lowest sales, and it actually helps us make informed decision on the next thing we should market.
Wow, this is fabulous. I just really want to thank you for coming on the show today and giving your personal experience in regards to how to open up a practice cold. I mean, you really gave a solid blueprint, and being someone that opened up a practice cold in Nigeria, I understand all the pains that you experience, and your insight is just incredible. I just really want to thank you for hanging out with me today. Friends, family, listeners, followers, if you are interested in learning more about Nigeria and private practice, feel free to reach out to Dr. Yemisi. Her social media handle is on Instagram, doctor, that's dr.ymc. Just hit her up, ask any questions. And again, Dr. Yemisi, thank you for hanging out with us today. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Be sure to follow us on all social media platforms, Ifrica Media, that's Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, you name it. Hang out with us, and until next episode, have a great one.